This post is based on Stephen Porges' 2022 inspiring account, Heart Rate Variability, A Personal Journey, published in Applied Psychophysiology and Biofeedback. A living signal, not a metronome. Heart rate variability, usually shortened to HRV, is the moment-to-moment variation in the timing between heartbeats. It is not a system error. It is a living signature of the nervous system's real-time regulation of the heart. In Stephen Porges' account, HRV becomes more than a measurement. It becomes a lifelong portal into theory, mechanism, and clinical possibility, pursued across 7 decades of research and reflection. That portal language matters. It suggests a disciplined humility. Start with what the body is already doing, measure it carefully, and let the pattern teach you what questions are worth asking. Porges' career, as he tells it, is a sustained demonstration of how patient measurement can grow into a generous theory of human regulation. The graduate student, the paper trace, and the surprise. Porges' journey opens in the late 1960s, when psychophysiology, the field that links psychological processes with measurable physiology, was still defining itself. In that early phase, he was already chasing a bold question with a practical route. Could mental effort be detected without asking people to explain themselves, simply by listening to the body? The scene is wonderfully concrete. He watches the beat-to-beat heart rate on polygraph paper and notices something that does not fit expectations for the time. During sustained attention tasks, the heart rate pattern becomes more stable, then later returns to a rhythmic baseline that seems tied to breathing. Today, we might describe this as a shift in the respiratory-linked component of HRV. But at the time, it was an empirical surprise rather than a named phenomenon. What follows is an early glimpse of Porges' signature style, curiosity paired with engineering-minded rigor. He and his mentor, David Raskin, immediately ask whether breathing is mediating the effect, realize they cannot answer without measurement, and pause the experiment to add a respiration sensor to the dynograph, a physiological recorder that tracks signals in real time. This is how careers quietly become foundations. A new observation appears on paper. The researcher does not rush past it. Instead, instruments are upgraded, assumptions are tested, and a phenomenon begins to acquire both definition and meaning. Measuring under constraint, thinking without shortcuts. It is hard not to admire the persistence required by the technology of the era. Before lab computers, data reduction was physical labor. Porges describes measuring tracings with a millimeter ruler, recording values in a notebook, then punching cards and carrying stacks of them to a mainframe for analysis. The workflow had built-in risk. An error printout could take days to resolve. That constraint shaped a research temperament. When measurement is hard, you learn to respect every variable and distrust vague interpretation. It also clarifies why Porges repeatedly returns to methods. In his telling, theory does not float above data. Theory is filtered through what can be measured with validity, especially when the goal is to link body regulation to attention, emotion, and health. The early payoff was striking. HRV, not just average heart rate or breathing rate, was uniquely sensitive to attention demands, with mental effort linked to suppression of HRV. That finding set a theme that runs through his narrative. Meaningful physiology often lives in patterns, not averages. From how variable to variable in which way? Quantification is where Porges' influence becomes field-shaping. He distinguishes between two broad approaches, descriptive statistics such as range or variance, and modeling the heart rate pattern to extract variance components tied to known physiological mechanisms. That second approach is where HRV becomes interpretable in mechanistic terms. Time series methods, including spectral analysis, treat a physiological signal as a sequence over time and examine its rhythms. Spectral analysis is a way of asking how much of the variability occurs at different frequencies, including the breathing frequency. Porges not only adopted these methods, he also actively disseminated them, organizing symposia and workshops that helped bring time series thinking into mainstream psychophysiology. He is also notably careful about what HRV can and cannot claim. A popular assumption in some HRV work is that slower frequency components or ratios can index sympathetic activation or an overall sympathovagal balance, i.e., a tug of war between sympathetic and parasympathetic influences. Porges argues that there is no reliable evidence that these slower frequency components, or their ratios with respiratory-linked variability, provide a direct index of sympathetic activity. This is not mere methodological quibbling. It is a principled insistence that interpretation must track physiology rather than convenience. Respiratory sinus arrhythmia, the vagus, and a non-invasive window. A central character in Porges' story is respiratory sinus arrhythmia, or RSA. RSA is the rhythmic speeding and slowing of the heart rate that occurs at the frequency of breathing. In accessible terms, it is the heart's natural breathing-linked oscillations. Importantly, RSA is mediated by vagal cardioinhibitory pathways, meaning fibers of the vagus nerve that can slow the heart. The vagus nerve is a major parasympathetic nerve that connects the brainstem to visceral organs. In Porges' framing, RSA is not just a pretty rhythm. It becomes a practical, non-invasive index of specific neural regulation. That matters because psychophysiology can then test hypotheses about regulation, resilience, and vulnerability using a metric with clearer neurophysiological grounding. This is one of Porges' enduring contributions. He repeatedly turns interesting variability into interpretable variability, and then uses that interpretability to connect basic mechanisms with clinical and behavioral questions. The polyvagal turn, from arousal to organized hierarchy. Porges describes a key shift in the field's earlier decades. Arousal theory treated activation as a single dimension from low to high, often assuming that measures such as heart rate reflected sympathetic activation and that physiology might parallel psychological states in a near one-to-one manner. He names this strategy psychophysiological parallelism, the assumption that each mental process should have a unique physiological signature when measured in the right channel. Polyvagal theory is presented as a demarcation from that parallelism, emphasizing integration and hierarchy in the nervous system rather than simple correspondence. In a hierarchical model, foundational survival circuits in the brainstem shape whether higher functions, including social engagement and flexible cognition, can come online. Porges locates the public debut of this framework in his 1994 presidential address to the Society for Psychophysiological Research, SPR, later published, and describes it as an attempt to archive principles from decades of HRV and autonomic research while challenging psychophysiology to rethink autonomic reactivity. The heart of the theory is that the autonomic state is regulated by three neural circuits, ventral vagal, sympathetic, and dorsal vagal, organized in a phylogenetically and developmentally ordered hierarchy. The vagus itself includes distinct efferent pathways, ventral and dorsal, arising from different brainstem regions, with the ventral pathway, linked to the nucleus ambiguus, providing myelinated cardioinhibitory influences in mammals. Myelinated fibers are insulated nerve fibers that conduct signals rapidly, which gives this pathway speed and precision. The concept of neuroception, the nervous system's detection of safety or threat without conscious awareness, extends the theory into everyday experience. Cues of danger can reflexively shift autonomic state toward mobilization or shutdown, while cues of safety support homeostatic regulation and social engagement. The vagal break, a practical metaphor with real physiology. One of Porges' most influential explanatory tools is the vagal break. The idea is simple and elegant. The heart has an intrinsic rhythm, and in young, healthy adults, this intrinsic rate is about 90 beats per minute. Baseline heart rate is typically slower because the vagus provides chronic cardioinhibitory input to the heart's pacemaker, the sinoatrial node. The break metaphor captures how quickly this vagal influence can be engaged or released. If vagal influence withdraws, heart rate can rise rapidly even without an increase in sympathetic excitation. In this framing, RSA amplitude reflects the strength of that break. It can index homeostatic reserve, which refers to the regulatory flexibility the autonomic nervous system has available when the environment demands action. This is Porges at his most generous. He translates specialized neurophysiology into language that clinicians, researchers, and lay readers can all use, without abandoning precision. A metric that moves, vagal efficiency. Porges also describes methodological innovations meant to capture autonomic dynamics, not just resting levels. His time frequency methodology enabled RSA estimation over short epochs, allowing the study of rapid changes and the relationships between RSA and heart rate. From this, vagal efficiency is operationalized as the slope of the regression linking changes in RSA amplitude to changes in heart period. In plain terms, vagal efficiency asks, when vagal regulation changes, how effectively does the heart's timing respond? This is a deeply Porges-like question because it is mechanistic, quantitative, and clinically suggestive. Why Porges' HRV research continues to matter? Porges closes with an argument that feels both scientific and humane. If clinicians lack sensitive metrics of neural regulation, then medicine may miss early dysregulation that precedes organ damage. He emphasizes the importance of visceral afferents, sensory fibers that carry information from organs back to the brainstem, as part of a dynamic feedback system that supports homeostasis. He also reminds psychophysiology that HRV was once dismissed as an error, either poor control or poor measurement, and that a deeper understanding requires abandoning simplistic stimulus-response assumptions. In place of stimulus-response, he highlights a stimulus-organism-response model, in which the organism's autonomic state shapes what happens next. Taken together, his personal journey reads like a blueprint for responsible bioscience. Observe, quantify honestly, interpret mechanistically, and then use what you learn to design better questions and better interventions. It is a career built not only on ideas, but on the ethical obligation to make ideas measurable and therefore testable.